5 years.
Do we need a new IT guy? Are we on?
I believe so. Can you hear us, Kim?
Yes, I can hear you.
I'd like to welcome everybody to the July meeting of the Upper Trinity Groundwater Conservation District Board of Directors. We're meeting here in our offices in Springtown as well as online. If you are wishing to speak on any of those items on the agenda, please hit the chat function and let Doug know which item it is so when we get to it, we can include allow you to have your say. Director Nave, would you call roll, please, sir?
Jared Reynolds.
Here.
Bob Lusk.
Absent.
Shannon Nave, here. Jason Flint.
Here.
Don Micah.
Here.
Justin Bradley.
Here.
Mike Berkeley.
Here.
Tracy Messler.
Here. We do have a quorum. Everybody please stand and join me in the pledges. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to the Texas, one state, under God, one and indivisible.
Do we have anybody signed up for public comment? What do we have in the night?
Doug, you see anything?
Nope.
Very well. Convene the public hearings, receive any public comments, request to contest, and general manager's report and recommendations regarding the following applications for permits, permit amendments, and or requests for exceptions to the district's water well facing rental and track size requirements. 1A, applicant is Eagle Ridge Mud of Parker County, headquartered out of Fort Worth, system ID 198-W. Doug?
Yes, sir. Eagle Ridge Mud is a development. It's right on 51 on the east side of the highway, just north of Weatherford, right at the old Springtown Road 51 intersection, kind of on the, I guess, the northeast corner of that intersection. We approved a permit for them in their first two wells about 2 years ago, something like that, Kyle. Right now, they're looking to drill one more well, looking for a 30-gallon-a-minute well, 670-foot is what they're proposing. Anus casing meets all spacing requirements. You can see, let me turn my pointer on. Here is the 150-foot circle for property line. Here's the 500-foot circle for well-to-well spacing. Meets all our spacing requirements. As far as permit goes, based on district allocation, there's about 15 million gallons left on the table for this particular piece of property for the mud. However, they're not actually asking for any additional permit volume at this time. They're simply looking to drill a new well. And again, the well meets all the spacing requirements. And it's my recommendation to approve. So back up. The reason we're having this hearing, district rules require notice and hearing to add a well to a permit, right? They're not looking to increase the permit. They're just adding the well to the permit. The well actually meets all of our requirements, so it doesn't require board action. It's administrative approval by me. So they're not asking for an exception. All we're asking for here tonight is for them to add the well to the permit. And it's my recommendation to approve the permit and add well ID 22681 to that permit.
Board have any questions?
Can we guarantee that she will not go over the allotted amount?
Yeah.
Will it be monitored?
You mean, will they report their use to us? Correct. Yeah. No, this is all permits are required. All permitted wells are required to submit a monthly use to us on a semi-annual basis.
So you don't see any issue of setting a precedent?
No.
Okay.
Were they having the issues meeting their requirements?
Is this a 0.6? Yes. Is this
Yes.
This is their engineer, okay. With Collier. Yeah, it's to require it's to meet that TCQ 0.6 requirement.
Okay. Any other questions? If not, I have a motion by Director Berkeley to approve the request as recommended by the General Manager. Second by Director Micah. Any further discussion? And obviously for our new board members, if you have any questions along the process, don't hesitate to ask. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Item 1B, applicant Texas Land Holdings LLC out of Naples, Florida, system ID 103-M. Doug?
Yes, sir. This is up in Montague, just east, northeast of Bowie, right off Highway 59. It's a little subdivision they put in up there. Tracy, it's one of the two-acre lots, private wells. What's the name of that? Stonegate.
Stonegate. I can't remember if it was Stonebridge or Stonegate.
Maybe it is Stone. Is that Stonebridge or Stonegate? No. It's Stonebridge. Okay.
I was going to say that's the one that turned down water from City Bowie.
Right. And so ultimately, they had a well for irrigation up front, and then they want a well to pump water into the vanity pond up there. It's kind of a weird situation. HOA is maintaining a couple lots, so their allocation is limited to what the HOA owns, which is a few lots, and then they're connected to the streets, right? Because they're private streets, they're HOA maintained streets. So they're able to use the acreage of the streets and the few lots to get them to the allocation they need. Oh, they're looking for just a small well, 10 gallons a minute. But with the other well, it takes it over 17 for the system. That's why they're in here for a permit. They've only got 43 acres. Most of that's going to be the roads and a few lots that they've got. They'll have to maintain ownership of both of those lots and the roads in order to maintain the permit. If they sell any of the lots, then they're going to lose allocation on the permit. They can get just over 2.9 million gallons under a permit. They're requesting 2,667,390 gallons per year. And that's there's a 4-acre pond. And honestly, it's not going to put that out. It's a drop in the bucket, right? But they're intent on doing this. They came up with just over 2.6 million gallons that they're say they need for the pond, and an additional 60,000 gallons for irrigation in the common area. It's basically the entryway. If everything falls within our requirements, so my recommendation is approval of the permit in the amount of 2,667,390 gallons, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
You're saying you don't believe that this is going to keep the pond full?
It's a 4-acre pond. You're pumping somewhere between 10 and 20 gallons a minute into it. I mean, you know more about that stuff. Keeping up with evaporation, it's going to be tough, right? It's going to be tough. We had that conversation with them when we met them, and we sat there in that meeting and even figured out the perfect world. You're only adding a very small amount to that without evaporation.
The evaporation's
about already exist.
Yeah.
So you're just keeping it.
Yeah. They're attempting to keep it filled.
Yeah. I believe they were also under TCEQ got on them because they were pumping out of the creek into the pond, and TCEQ went up there and said, can't do that.
And that's for cattle?
No. This is a luxury vanity pond for a subdivision.
This is a subdivision behind the Bowie Airport, isn't it?
Correct. Okay.
Doug, is there a way, or does staff have an opportunity to watch those lots and from their not sold?
Yeah. Yeah, we will. At the very least, we will when the permit comes up for renewal. But since all the other lots are going to be private wells, staff's going to be doing, work looking at ownership of those lots out there anyway. So it's going to be something that we're going to check regularly. Yeah. And they understand they have to maintain ownership of all the lots that we're using towards their allocation.
Well, as long as they understand, I'm sure they'll never cross it.
Never cross it.
Make a motion to move forward with the general manager's recommendation.
I have a motion by Director Nave. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Director Reynolds. Any further questions? Nobody online?
Nope.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. That completes all our public hearings. And I did not introduce for everybody that wasn't here before, our two new directors, Jason Flint and Justin Bradley. Again, welcome, gentlemen. And again, you have questions, ask. Most of us have been on this board long enough, we do kind of tend to move quickly.
Right, and slow me down, because I apologize. Because of that, they've been, these guys, most of them have been here a while, so we move through things.
Slow you down. Slow her down. Yeah, I know. Consent agenda, which are routine and non-controversial items that appear on the agenda, can be approved by the board in one time. Any board member can request any item to be moved to the regular agenda where it can be handled individually. This month, the consent agenda includes minutes from the regular board meeting and public hearings to June 26, approval of bank statement ending June 30th, and current financial reports of the district, payment of bills and invoices received through July 17th, reimbursement for expenses incurred on behalf of the district through July 17th, approval request for extension applications for submitted through July 17th. Do we have one bill to add?
Got a mileage reimbursement for Director Micah for $92.40.
$92.40. And include also a mileage reimbursement for Director Micah for $92.40. We need to pull anything?
I make a motion to approve the consent agenda as presented.
And a motion by Director Micah. Do I have a second?
Second.
From Justin?
Jason.
I'll get it straight. Got both Shays on either end of me. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Item two is moot. Board consideration of possible approval of quarterly investment report with recommendations. Doug, anything?
Yeah, no real recommendations. We've got, let me see, I'm looking down here. We've got a couple things maturing later this summer, fall. Typically what we do is, you know, I'll look, Ann will get some CD rates for me for renewing those, and we'll compare that against the ICS account and make a determination what to do with those, but no recommendations at this time. But it is the quarterly, so I need approval.
And you'll probably
release the this Pinnacle Bank.
That's our checking account, Pinnacle, or the money market account. Yeah. Yeah, it's just a money market account. It's just to have some more liquid.
And for our two new board members, Doug typically contacts Mike Berkeley's the chairman of the finance committee, and he typically contacts him to see if he knows of any other interest rates we need to get. Although I think he's got Ann where she sniffs all that out.
Yeah.
So.
Right. Right. While we're on that, Tracy, before I forget,
There's a lot of signatures needed.
Yes, every one of you guys here will need to sign. We've got new signature cards for our banks, just before I forget. So make sure y'all sign those before y'all leave this evening, gentlemen, please.
Now, while the three officers are named directly, we also name all the other board members as assistant secretaries because we require two signatures on a lot of checks. And if they can't find one of us, they can find somebody
right
to co-sign the checks.
Yeah. So lately it's been Jared to track down.
Do what?
Lately it's been Jared. I send Jared for somebody to go find Jared.
That and I get a piece of mail about once a week.
Right.
So
everybody knows where I live.
Well,
every time I wake up, there's an Upper Trinity man sitting.
That's not true.
You're infamous, Jared. What can I say? No action needed on investment reports.
Approval because it's quarterly.
Okay.
Good. Good point.
Need a motion to approve the quarterly investment report?
I'll make that motion.
Motion by Director Reynolds. Do I hear a second?
I'll second it.
Okay. Director Flint.
And for those, Jason and Justin, you know, because it's public funds, everything has to be completely FDIC covered, right? That's why there's so many. Right. And then we've got our ICS account, which is insured cash sweeps, where they take it out and put it out in different banks for us. And it meets text. But if you're familiar with text pool, it's text pool plus a point, I believe.
And Pinnacle is our checking account bank
right.
as well. And they provide us a monthly statement of the bonds that are pledged against all of that.
Right. Right.
Did I take a vote, Ann? What? Did I or not?
I vote Senator Bradley.
Did you? That's why I was asking. I didn't take a vote yet, did I? Have motion and second to approve the quarterly investment report. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passed. Item 4, presentation and discussion regarding the annual financial report for the year ending December 31st, 2024, and take necessary action.
Tim, do you want me to open up the on my screen, or do you want to share your screen with our report?
It might be easier if I share so that I could scroll.
That's kind of what I was thinking. Let me go through and let you do that real quick. Give me 1 second.
Sure.
Somewhere in... All right, you can try to share your screen real quick. I have to stop sharing mine. There you go.
Okay. Do that. So hopefully now y'all are seeing the PDF of the draft of the report here. Is it sharing?
Yep.
Okay. I want to first thank Ann and Doug both for putting up with me. I know I ask a lot of questions, especially when it's the same questions I ask every year, and y'all answer them graciously and put up with all my inquiries and requests. And poor Ann, I think, scans every invoice y'all have to me, and I appreciate that greatly. So I want to thank the both of them for helping us through this audit process. Big round of applause for them. So to just highlight some of what's in your financials this year. I'm going to start on page 1, the independent auditor's report. Your opinions are listed up top. You did receive an unqualified opinion, which is the highest level of assurance we can give. It means there were no material uncorrected misstatements. So I'm just going to mention this section, the management's discussion and analysis. For governmental clients, this is usually the only place where you see comparative information, because most governments do focus more on current financial resources. So it's more, what do we have right now and what do we have coming up in the near future? But the management's discussion analysis is, it's an unaudited section, but it's meant to serve as more of an analysis over time. And there will be changes coming to this section in the next year or two. GASB is going to issue some guidance around to make this more templated so that across governments, they will look the same. So just to know that we'll be changing a little bit in the next coming years, and that it's there if you're looking for more of a year-to-year comparison. So skipping down, the statement of net position, the first two statements we're going to look at, I refer to them as your government-wide statements. And these are going to be on a full accrual basis of accounting, which means they're going to be more similar to a for-profit business. So they're dissimilar to what you're used to seeing in your monthly meetings on it, because internally they're kept on a modified accrual basis. And I'll show you those statements in a minute. The GASBs require that you prepare both for your external financial reporting. So I'll highlight the differences for you on another schedule in a minute. Just a few things I want to point out here. I want to highlight here, you do have a net pension asset this year. So that's a good place to be. It just means that your pension has $9,000 more in it than they expect you to pay out in the future. So that is in an asset position, which is a fortunate place to be as a government. The other thing I want to point out is this section right here, this non-current liabilities. You usually don't have any, and I'm sure for most of you, you may be thinking, we don't have any debt. What is that? So there was a new standard that was issued this year, and I'll talk about it more in the footnotes, but just to say this represents accrued leave for vacation and sick time. And it's a new standard that was issued this year that requires that accrual to be calculated a little differently and requires more of it to be considered non-current. So that's why you're seeing it here this year. It's not related to any sort of note payable or debt that has been taken out. It's truly related to your what's referred to as compensated absences. This next one here is your statement of activity. So this is going to be similar to your income statement in a for-profit world. And I'm not going over these numbers in detail just because they're, again, dissimilar from how you're used to seeing it on a monthly basis. I just want to say that they're here. You will see this prior period adjustment. And usually any time you see those words in a report, it's a big, uh-oh, what went wrong? This year, it's not that, very fortunately. So I want to highlight it because of that. All it is just that implementation of that new standard related to those compensated absence accruals. You're required to record the prior period effect as a prior period adjustment. It's just to the change in the accounting standard and not a result of any error made. So now going to your balance sheet, and again, this is going to be more similar to what you're seeing on a monthly basis, and highlight here for you that your total assets are about $5.9 million. Got total liabilities of about $120,000. For your fund balance here of about $5.7 million, of which about $2.3 million is either committed or assigned by the board. And this is the reconciliation I was talking about to go between the two sets of financials. This just shows you all the differences. So the biggest ones are always going to be your capital assets and your pension activity. So that's what's being shown here. And then, of course, there's this new difference here, again, related to those compensated absences. So your statement of revenues, expenditures, and changes in fund balance. You did report total program revenue of about $1.8 million with an additional approximate $165,000 of other sources of revenue, including your investment earnings, for total revenues of about just under $2 million. Total expenditures of around $1.8 million to get back to that ending fund balance of about $5.7 And then there's a reconciliation of this to the other statement as well. But again, most of that's going to be your capital asset activity, your pension activity, and the change in the compensated absences. Into the footnotes, this is where you'll find all the answers to how and why you arrive at those numbers on the face of the financials. You know, why do we show two sets of financial statements that way? Why do we have to record those compensated absences? All of those answers and more details about those balances are usually found here in the footnotes. I won't go through them in detail, just highlight the ones that I think are relevant for this year. Again, I'm going to talk about them. So the new standard is GASB 101 related to those compensated absences. In the past, the standard was such that if you were going to pay it out upon an employee's termination, then you had to accrue it to say, hey, this is something we will have to pay in the future. They have changed that to say, not only do you accrue what they would be paid out, on top of that, you also accrue what you think they will use in the future. So you have to look back and say, okay, roughly how many hours of vacation has Doug taken in the past 3 years? So how many on top of what he would be paid out do I think he will use in the next 3 years before that vacation is completely replaced by new accrual? And then you also have to add that to the accrual. So it's kind of a two-step process that's done to estimate the amount that will be used in the future in addition to what would be paid out. The idea behind this standard was so that the benefit to the employee is accrued when it's earned versus when it's paid out, to better prepare governments to pay to make those payments, and to line it up more with what we call the matching principle, or with accrual accounting, to say you're accruing the expense when it's incurred. So the employee is earning that time off throughout the year. So they're saying technically you should carry that on your balance sheet. So I just want to say that is a change from the previous year. It's a real fun one. We really loved implementing this one for our clients. I'm sure any of you that are in county or local government are preparing for this for the 9/30/25 year end as well. So it's a fun change. So moving forward, you know, I know y'all were just talking about your investment report and the FDIC limit. A couple of them, of course, tip over that 250 limit from time to time just as a result of the accrued interest. So we highlight that for you here. A lot of this has been mitigated by that ICS account, and it's a great tool for governments in your situation. So just to highlight, there was $3,400 that was not collateralized. We're required to disclose that. It doesn't mean that we are trying to raise any red flags. It's just a requirement. So then just to highlight here in footnote four, it does, this shows your capital activity, your any capital activity you had during the year. The biggest piece of that was a new truck that was purchased. Replaced an older truck, and then also the completion of the rain barrel project. And there was some miscellaneous equipment that was purchased as well. The other thing I'll highlight is this, again, related to the compensated absences. There is a new footnote for long-term liabilities that you haven't seen in the past. So this just, again, goes through and says, hey, here's the change we made to the beginning balance, and then the additions during the year. And this is the amount that's expected to be used or paid out in 1 year. So just to show that's there and why it's there. The other thing I will mention here is your fund balance classifications. So every November, y'all pass a resolution to commit and assign some funds. So this just breaks down into more detail what those were assigned and committed for. The next footnote, footnote eight, if anyone is a super detailed actuary nerd and loves to know about valuations and how they are derived, this is your footnote. So it goes into a lot of detail about your pension plan and how those the liabilities, or for you guys, the asset is calculated. So just to say that's here, I won't go over this unless anyone is super interested in actuarial information. It's a long one, a lot of information. And then the last thing I will highlight in the footnote section is just here, highlighting again, our favorite topic this year, related to GASB 101. We're required now to show in tabular format the difference from a previous report. So since 1231.03 didn't reflect this 43,000, it's here in this table showing you what that change is related to, and it's related to the change in accounting principle. Here is your budget to actual. It shows here that your revenues were short of budget by about $117,000, but this was made up by the fact that your expenses were also under budget by about $294,000, so that overall your net, you did have a favorable budget variance of about $177,000. There are also a couple more schedules about your pension and changes over the last 10 years. So again, just to mention, they're here if you want to review them, but nothing in particular to comment on those. So any questions or comments?
Board, have any questions for Kim?
Are you happy with it?
Absolutely.
I will congratulate Doug and the staff for not overspending their budget, but coming in under. That's good.
Yeah, we saw we were, you know, I mean, you know,
knew the revenue was off a little.
We knew we were going to be off, so we wanted to make sure. And I'm happy that we still came in favorable, right? We don't put money in the bank, so.
And for our new board members, Doug does pay attention to that. And if he doesn't, Ann wraps him up outside the head.
Right.
Just out of curiosity, what do you attribute the shortfall in income to?
Last year.
Down number of wells drilled.
Okay.
That's largely what it's tied to. Production from non-exempt wells was down too. We were about 3.9 billion last year, and usually it's right just over four. So we were down both in the production fees and in new well registrations. So, but again, you know, we kind of keeping an eye on that and kind of knew it. So, you know, anything that we could cut and not spend on, we do.
With our two primary revenue sources, because our new well registrations and then our semi-annual reports from the non-exempt wells, which we don't receive that second semiannual till the end of March. So it's actually after the budget year is ended and such. So it makes for a little more complicated budgeting planning. Doug and I talking after the last meeting last month, that our SA1 for this year is going to be down because it was a wet year and people weren't watering.
Mm-hmm. That's good though.
He was telling me historically, the funny thing is that SA2, people have been watering their lawns and it's still green when they go into July. So they keep trying to keep it green when the heat hits. Yep. So it sometimes counterbalances what
Right.
was short. So yep. It's really a crystal ball trying to predict on that one. The one he watches, because after we peaked out, what was it, 2020, when the well registrations went through the roof?
2022.
He watches carefully on that. And when he does the budget, and we'll see it in October, right? And adopt it in November.
Correct.
He typically underestimates that one just as a fudge factor. And last year it was a little bit under even that. This year's actually a little bit ahead of what he projected at this point, I think. Right. So
yeah,
it's a balancing act. That's one reason we keep as much as we do in our checking account. We could swallow a bad year without really having to tighten belts or anything, maybe even two. Right. So
2022 was a year there was 2,300 new wells.
Correct.
What was the count last year?
14 something?
Yeah, it was right around 14. 1337 new. So it's down. I mean, 2022 was insane. I mean, there was 1 month that we got 300 new well applications. That's 10 a day. That's 10 a day, not even counting business days. You know, that's
there was one. Was that the year that between Christmas and New Year's, you got 40 from one driller?
Yeah, that was when we increased the application fees.
I mean, it's.
I'm just curious.
Really? And you'll see on here on the consent agenda the extensions. Drillers are allowed to apply for 4 extensions or 5.
We usually we've never gone past 5.
We haven't had one hit past 5 yet. We got close.
Oh.
5.
After the 5th one, they lose their deposit. And part of it's because, you know, it gets wet. They can't go in and drill. You know, they have equipment problems and stuff. We're not trying to penalize them and forfeit that amount. But
5 extensions is
a long time, 2.5 years.
Yeah.
I mean, it may be too lenient, but we're giving them a chance. So
we run into problems on drill sites too.
So yeah. I mean, it does happen. I've got a friend that's a driller and he moved in a well and he couldn't get out. His rig was stuck there for 4 months before those could get in and get him out. So
need to keep that guy's number if he can make it rain whenever he moves in on a job.
He's gotten better about not getting himself in trouble that way. He had to go buy another rig. So any other questions on the audit report? I gather, Kim, no recommendations, any changes, any material changes in our procedures?
No recommendations on that front. And if we had any that we thought were raising a red flag, we're required to communicate that to you in writing. So the lack of a letter to you is a good sign.
Okay. Chairman, is there a motion to approve the audit report?
I make that motion to approve the audit report as presented.
Motion by Director Micah. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Second by Director Reynolds. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Discussion and presentation of the 2024 annual report. For our two new board members, we're required by state law to do this each year. And they outline a long list of things we have to do.
Yeah, it's everything in our management plan. So I'm just going to go through this. I'm going to go through it pretty quick. If y'all see something interesting, stop me. So I'm going to go through all the requirements, objectives in our management plan. The first one, A1, is require registration of all new wells. The performance standard is reporting new well registrations in the annual report. And you can see here there were 1,337 new wells 1,600 total registered, but we had a bunch of existing wells. Primarily, that was a stack of weird issues that had just been lying around for years, and had part-time staff enter them in just so we could have a record of them and digitize those files.
Slow you down too much.
No, you're good.
We're still the county with the most number of wells drilled in the state.
Yeah.
Have we looked at the country yet?
I haven't looked at the country.
Something we can look at?
Yeah, we can. Yeah. We'll see what we can find.
We're number one in the country is what I'm
saying. That would be even
that's not good.
It's the wrong kind of number one, right?
Yeah.
Making well drilling great again.
So objective A2 is requirement to monitor annual productions from all non-exempt wells within the district. It goes back to what Don had asked earlier about, requiring reports from permitted wells. The performance standard is to report production from those non-exempt wells in the annual report. We've broken it down by the three categories that we classify that use in public water supply, oil and gas production, and commercial business. As you can see, public water supply makes up almost 90% of non-exempt pumping. Of course, especially in Montague County, percent-wise of total, when the Barnett was just going, that was a big, big difference. But that's oil and gas is, like I said, right at 5% of total non-exempt pumping. Objective A3, district will monitor permitted groundwater production volumes, permitted. So the performance standard is just to report the actual permits issued by the district. Total permitted volume is 12 billion. So keep in mind, we've got 12 billion in permits, but only about 4 billion in actual production. A lot of that's because of the historic use permits that were issued for oil and gas, and that's just not in use. B1, it's an evaluation of rules to determine if any amendments are recommended to decrease waste of groundwater. Performance standards, discussion, evaluation of rules, reporting of whether district rules should be amended. Basically, several years ago, we updated our rules. We did change the definition of waste in our rules to reflect Chapter 36. We work very closely with Brian. There, the last two sessions, there's been a bill that would have amended the definition of waste in 36, and had that bill passed, we would have, amended our rules to reflect that change, but that did not pass. And then we just continue to monitor and evaluate activities. But at this point, we've not had any changes to recommend to the board to change rules. B2, encourage elimination and reduction of groundwater waste through the collection of fees for non-exempt production. And the performance standard is reporting the fees collected to the board. You can see that in this table here. And I would credit Jay. He's done a lot of work. It's not, we charge 22 cents per 1,000 gallons pumped, but it's not always a straight, hey, there's this much reported. It should straight equal that because we exempt emergency use from that fee payment. So you've got to deduct all that out. And all the little footnotes there, Jay put together to basically, show that everything lined up. B3, each year, district will provide information to the public regarding wasteful practices on our website. Performance standard, a copy of the information provided on that web on our webpage, and you can find that here. Jill's put a good bit of information on that page. Objective C1, participate in regional water planning. The standard is to state in our annual report which meetings we attended. Of course, Tracy is a voting member and serves as vice president on Region B. I'm a voting member on Region C, and then I'm also an alternate voting member on Region G. So you can see the meetings attended here.
That's interesting. B is one of the smallest in the state. We met a whole lot more
right
in C, which is one of the biggest.
Right. D1, ongoing monitoring review of all applications submitted to the Railroad Commission. These are injection well applications. We receive all the injection well applications for review within the district and in all adjacent counties. It was too many to put on here, but you get them each month. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We still got a quorum. Next each month, there's a report in the management plan report showing the injection wells received over the last month, and then in their annual report, all the ones we received in the year are included.
Is this PowerPoint or PDF available to members of the public who'd like to get a copy of it?
Absolutely.
Get you one.
Sure enough. E1, monthly review of drought conditions, performance standards, include all the reports, the monthly reports that we download from the Water Development Board's website. Those are all included in the annual report. That's from the drought monitor. F1, we'll submit articles regarding water conservation. F2, annually submit articles regarding rainwater harvesting. F3, is basically the newsletter information sent out to non-exempt well owners. You see there in the bullet points below that how we met each of those. G1, adopt a groundwater monitoring program. Y'all did that a long time ago. That's the programs included in the as an appendix to the report. G2, upon approval of the monitoring program, conduct water level measurements, performance standard, evaluation of water level trends. So here's the most interesting thing in my opinion. The map on the right shows all the monitor wells in the district. I believe we measure water levels in more wells than any district in the state of Texas. Perhaps the country. I think it's 275 now. Jacob's not here, but it's up around 275, I believe. Most of those are quarterly readings, but we've got several dozen that have devices that take readings every minute. And what's worth noting, you can see the circled area. Of course, notice here's the cumulative change. Water level changes from 2010 through the end of last year. What's going on in Parker County is definitely notable, right? Noticing we've already surpassed the DFC for Parker County and the Biloxi, which is the shallower formation on the east side of the county.
And note on monitor wells, when we formed, there were 50 monitor wells in the four counties, which is 3,100 square miles, I believe. It's a tremendous amount of area, very few monitor wells. We have as a policy, anytime a non-exempt well comes in for an exception, with very few exceptions, we've required them to let us monitor their water to see what's happening under the ground, to try and identify potential problem areas.
The vast majority of them are still volunteer, though.
Yeah.
Folks that have volunteered to let us come measure water levels. And then we've been given easements, given property, and we've drilled eight, I think. If with the new Fairview, we'll go up to either 10 or 11. So I don't know that any other districts have drilled that many monitor wells either.
And as you said, most of our monitor wells are voluntary. A number of them from board directors talking to the public and saying, hey, we need this. Here's why we need to know what's happening under your ground. A lot of people said, come check my well, see if you can monitor it. And they do so.
You need to add that from the landowner's perspective, you don't even know they're there. Yeah. I mean, you may see a white pickup and your first reaction is what? If they come out, whatever.
Once a quarter,
three yep. times a year.
Three times.
They just show up, monitor, and they're gone.
Yep.
So, and
we send the landowners a report on what's happened under their well.
Well, if they ask for it.
I think you do.
Yeah, if they ask for it, we do. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Never seen any.
If you want one.
They ask for one, apparently.
He's usually out there talking to the guy.
He knows what they did because they just told him while he was standing there.
Right. Objective G3, monitor non-exempt pumping and evaluating district compliance with aquifer desired future conditions. We actually, non-exempt pumping, of course, we know that. That's metered. Exempt use, it's a guess, but I will say Jay went through a very thorough process. And I'm gonna talk about it because I don't think anyone else in the state has gone to this length to figure out how much exempt use is happening. We know every exempt well that's been drilled since 2009. So we went in and we found population estimates as of January 1st, 2009. We then identified all the TCEQ public water systems, found connections for each of those systems, deducted out, you know, what was it, two, what would we come to, 2.4 people per connection, deducted that off. And then we made the assumption that the remainder of the population was served by private well, came out with a number of wells that we think were existing in 2009. And then we applied, we looked at gallons per capita per day used in regional water planning for each of the counties. And we added a 25% increase because it's probably more than that, but folks with private wells tend to use more than those that are paying water bills. So that's how we landed on the exempt use. And then we take estimates of exempt use for irrigation and livestock from the Water Development Board. So as you can see, exempt use is almost double non-exempt use in our district. It's actually fairly unique in the state. Most districts, the majority of the use is non-exempt, right? Public water supply, commercial use. Here it's primarily private wells is the biggest user of water. It's quite unique in the state.
For now.
Say what?
For now.
For now.
Rolling Neal take care of that.
Right. Well.
Residents, what percentage of Parker County's
I did that for Commissioner Holt a while back, and I can find it and get it to you. We looked into that. Commissioner Holt had asked me that last year, and I put together some numbers for him. I wanted to say it's, you know, a third. Keeping in mind, you know, Alito, and that's a third that are at least completely, right? On private wells, right? I mean, there's ground. He also asked groundwater, but keeping in mind, like, Alito's transition towards surface water, but they still use some groundwater. Willow Park, Hudson Oaks, same thing. So there's a mix, right, with some of the folks in the cities. And that is all I've got on the annual report, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
I'm making a motion to approve the District 2 2024 annual report as presented.
Can I hear a second?
Second.
Second by Director Nave. Any further discussion or questions?
I don't know. He said any questions. So we got, I think he meant about the report.
I think it has to be on this particular agenda topic here, Shannon. I'm going to limit you there.
Yeah, he said any.
I don't care. I'm going to limit you to the
22 cents topic. A gallon?
Yes, sir.
Who does that apply to?
22 cents per thousand. That is for the non-exempt use. Public water supplies, commercial, water use for oil and gas.
And that's pretty cheap in the grand scheme of what water actually costs. It's
pretty cheap.
I mean,
let's think about it. It's $22 per million gallons.
So what if we had to go off a number, say, use Tarrant, for instance, what do they charge per thousand?
Man, I don't have a clue off the top of my head. It's a lot more than that. I know what their buy-ins are, and I know
what. That's what I'm saying.
Right. It's
okay.
It's pennies on the dollar.
I just think it'd be something we need to discuss at some point.
What is the state mandated upper limit?
The state only allows us to go up to 30 cents. That's the legislative, that's the cap on what?
Over a third more.
Right.
Ah. We got to get down to budget at some point. Right. So I'm just saying, you know, right. I mean, if we're already, especially for Parker County,
right.
Obviously that's mine. So if we're having an issue, it's something we need to discuss. Okay.
We're about to start.
When we adopted it, and I'll go back. Mike is an original board member. I came on about 9 months later. When we set the fee, it was just kind of a guesstimate of what to be there. And right. We watched the revenue stream, and it held. At some point in time, we're going to drill out the number of wells in this district, and maybe 20 or 30 years from now. And we've left that 8 cent there to be able to keep meeting counteracting inflation over the period of time. We've talked about dropping it, but it'll probably bite us in the rump when we do.
Right.
And we've, other than when we have not changed that since we've done it. We did change the new well registration fee and caught a bit of blowback on that until several drillers who were complaining was asked how much they had gone up on their rates in the previous 9 years. So, and that will probably be getting.
We will be discussing fees next month.
Okay.
I'll have fees on the agenda next month. All of our administrative fees and.
Just saying, as far as business, what is power, water, all the above, right?
Right.
That it's what it takes to run.
Right.
And was it your first or second year? I asked him to do a cost analysis on what it was costing us to process a new well registration, go out and check the sites, et cetera. And we were losing our tail.
Yeah.
Right. And we went up from 150 to 600, which is a huge jump, figuring we could stretch that over a period of years. I'm gathering from what he's saying, it's time to take a look again.
Yeah. Like I said, we've got to adopt fees every year. And actually just today, Kyle started looking at some what other districts have increased and what they're doing on registration fees and for new applications. And then we can have a discussion about all of it, right?
And so a water tap alone in the city costs more than that.
Right. Yes. And in all reality, too, because of a change in state law and annexation, you're not going to see cities growing out and taking in these rural subdivisions that are now track homes and stuff. You're going to see more and more and more ranchette, 2 and 5 and 10 acre, and they're going to have water wells.
Right.
So we're going to continue to see drilling as we continue to populate in our four counties. Parker will be part of the exception. Parts of Wise, but about half of Wise won't be. Half of Wise will be ranchette. It's probably my prediction.
Yeah.
So we watch that number on that, and we can kind of just handle inflation through that for us budget wise.
Yes, sir.
Next month.
Yeah, we'll have a discussion before then. I'll reach out to some of you guys. If y'all have anything, any thoughts on it, give me a call ahead of time.
Cool. Thank you.
Yep.
We have a first and a second.
I do have a first and a second on the annual report. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Item 6, discussion regarding the following request to locate a replacement well in a location greater than 100 feet from the well being replaced.
Yeah, they're not actually greater than 100 feet. These are both replacement wells. One of them is more than 50 feet, but less than 100 feet. But I'm not comfortable with their proposed location. And the other one is not very far at all, but I'm not comfortable with the proposed location. So I placed both items on the agenda for y'all's consideration. And I'm going to go through these.
Let me real quickly for the two board members. Originally, any replacement well had to come before the board, but that clogged up our agenda. We gave the general manager the option to bring it to us if it was in a certain amount of feet of the well that's being replaced, unless there was something he saw needed to come to the board's attention.
Right. That is, and I've got it on the next item, the rule on there, on the next slide.
6A, which is well ID 22289, submitted by Don Weeks in Parker County. Doug?
Yes, sir. So, and I'm going to summarize this, and I believe Mr. Weeks is online if y'all have any questions. Early this year, received an application for a new domestic replacement well. This is 22289. Wells located in Aledo, one of the subdivisions with private wells. This is a second application for a replacement well. The first one was approved late last year. I believe it collapsed while they were drilling it. Correct, Kyle?
What?
Yeah, I don't know. We got the full story, but the new well they were trying to drill ended up plugging that, and they submitted a second. I'm sorry, that was February 10th and June 10th. Yes, that well, the current well that we're considering today, we approved in March a location for it to be drilled. It wasn't drilled in June, early June of this year. We received a request to change the location. The new location is now within 150 feet of an existing well, and I've got some maps, and I'll show you in a second. Just kind of talk about what Tracy was saying. Basically, district rules say the intent behind a replacement well is you got a well sitting there. It's failed for one reason or another. You need to drill a new well. needs to be within 50 feet of it so that you're not creating new impact, right? You're not moving your impact of that well, the cone of depression, closer to your neighbor, closer to property line. It needs to be within 50 foot. I can approve a well, a replacement well between 50 and 100 foot if they show a good reason why it needs to be more than 50. If any replacement well over 100 foot has to go to the board. So what we got here, they more than 50 but less than 100. And here's the situation. It's kind of busy little map, but there's a lot going on. So right here on my mouse is, that is the existing well, the original well. Right here is where they tried to drill the first replacement well, and for one reason or another, it failed. Here is the approved location of the well we are discussing today. And last month, they requested to move this approved location to here. The problem that creates is this. So these wells were all 300 feet or less, right? They were Paluxy wells in the Aledo area, which very common in the area. You see a lot of replacement wells being drilled. They're plugging their Paluxy well and looking to drill into the Lower Trinity or Twin Mountains, right? This is a replacement well. This was an old well, an old Paluxy well. This has been drilled recently, a couple years ago, down to 560 feet, right, Kyle? They're proposing to drill this well to 560 feet. We have a vertical offset. So in other words, you got a 200-foot well. It doesn't have to be spaced from a 560-foot well. Paluxy well doesn't have to be spaced from a Lower Trinity well, right? They're not communicating with each other. But because they're moving this well here, are proposing to drill into the Twin Mountains, the Lower Trinity, it is then closer than 150 foot. It's with 139 foot of this well. And that's why I have this before you today, right? You have a well here. It's right at 150 feet, but it's also shallow, meet spacing. The approved location, even at the greater depth, still meets spacing to this well. Where they're wanting to put it does not meet spacing. Again, I just kind of go through all this in bullet points here. And I said Mr. Weeks is on the line. I believe it's from my understanding, and I have not spoken with Mr. Weeks, but my understanding there was concern about impact of the rig on the driveway is why they're looking to put it over here. However, because of the proposed location now encroaching upon an existing well, my recommendation is denial of the proposal to locate the well where they want. And I'm happy to answer any questions. And again, I believe the applicant is online.
With Paluxy wells,
mm-hmm.
wells
right.
that are in the same aquifer, minimum spacing is 150 feet.
Correct. Yeah. Correct.
So because the existing wells he has are at the Paluxy and his neighbor across the street,
right.
it's Twin Mountains.
Right.
They can be closer than 150 because
vertical offset.
Right. And they aren't. They're right at 150, maybe 149 at the most, but they're right at that. But you're exactly right, because he's looking to plug the Paluxy well, drill Twin Mountains well, and the proposed location is closer than 150. That's why it's before you today.
What's the odds if they drill another well in that same spot like they just did that it's going to collapse as well?
I cannot speak. We have a driller on the
– Yeah,
can I get some more information from the landowner?
Sure.
Can they hear us?
Sure.
Curiosity, what if he has any info on why they had to abandon the previous drill attempt?
Mr. Weeks, can you hear us?
I don't. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
And the question I guess I don't have a very good connection. I'm having a hard time hearing you. But the question was something about why did the well fail?
Why did they abandon the previous drill site?
The one that had the flood?
Think of microphone.
Yes, I was curious why they abandoned the last attempt.
They tell me they lost circulation.
Okay. And then the previous drill site or previous attempted site, how far is that from the roof line or the edge of the structure that's on the property?
Probably about 15 feet.
Okay.
The drilling rig would have to set right on the sidewalk. It's not the driveway, actually. And I know it's going to, I don't know, but I assume seriously that it's going to crack it or collapse it. We don't know which, but.
And then, I mean, I can speak to kind of what he's talking about. So loss of circulation means that they didn't have the either velocity or density of air or fluid to return the cuttings to the surface. That can happen when there's parts of the formation that'll take water and air and cuttings. And basically, once you stop circulating either fluid or air, then the top of the hole collapses. And that sounds like kind of what they had happen. Also drilling a 200 and what are the other wells in the neighborhood? 230 feet.
Yeah.
The difference in drilling a 230 foot well and drilling a 560 foot well, that can be a significant change in the size of the equipment too. 15 feet is pretty tight. That's pretty close to the house for the kind of rig that can drill almost 600 feet. So, has anybody gone out and actually checked the distance to the other well on the, across the street neighbor? And it is a real close to 138 feet.
Correct. Yeah, we went out and verified those locations.
So he's within. But
my question, Jason, is what's the odds of it if he has to drill in that specific place again? Yeah. What are the odds of that happening again?
Without having drilled in that area and knowing, you know, a lot about what formation is, you know, a lot of times you can move 10 feet. A lot of times 10 feet, you're going to yield exactly the same result. So in my experience, moving away from a failed site is a better plan. Also, there's some disruption that happens when you do. I mean, this would be the third well within a very small area. Logic and some experience tells me the third time you punch a hole in that area, in that tight of a formation or that tight of a spot, your chances may be less of having a successful outcome. So Did we present anything to the across the street neighbor and give them a chance to contest the location at all?
No, because it's not an exception. So there's no notice required because it is a replacement well. If this were a new well,
then they would have
the neighbor would have had to have been noticed, right? Yeah. But because it's a replacement well, there's no notice requirement.
Oh, this is a question for staff or Mr. Weeks. Is there not an opportunity to move that well location that he's requesting 11 feet further back from the neighbor? Looks like there's a tree there. Maybe
I don't think they could get because of the tree line, I think, was the problem.
Put the aerial map back up.
Is there not room in the backyard?
Because I'm seeing a gap between the trees right there, Doug, that he might be able to move back to the bottom of the page.
Austin, did you go out to this one?
Who did this one?
Clayton. Clayton's not here right now.
It's a little different color, but that looks like that's a solid
tree. But yeah, the backyard is septic. That was my first. Yeah. I think Kyle had that same thought too.
The septic was in the back. I have not
confirmed
that.
Mr. Weeks, where's your septic system?
My septic system is on the west side.
Would it be better drilled?
Okay, so they can go to the back.
Mm. Well, but his lateral field is probably better.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
The lateral would
probably be worse.
Sprinklers are in the backyard.
Okay, yep. Okay.
All right. So, Mr. Weeks, one thing we'd like you to bear in mind is we'd like to not grant an exception whenever we can, but we like to work with our residents as much as we can. So a lot of the talking tonight is us trying to help find a way where we can allow the well to be drilled without taking an exception.
Well, I appreciate that. I know you're under pressure to follow the rules, but you know, we started this process in December of 23.
About over here.
So is the well currently producing water for your family to utilize, the existing well?
I'm sorry?
Is the existing well providing some degree of water for your family?
The existing well is producing if we time things properly. We can't use the sprinklers at the same time with that we're using the dishwasher or the shower.
Who went to the site?
Clayton. He's not here.
Is this a situation, Doug, is this a situation we'd want to let staff investigate a little further and see if there's another site on location on site we could use?
I talked to him and we can do that. We've been out there. like four times.
And you can't push it any further back.
I think that's about as far back as you can get in that tree line.
There may be a, looks like one stray tree right in that gap.
Yep.
Do we have a well report on 19507 to know what their pump rate is?
They're not required to put that. They put an estimate on there. I mean, it's under 17. 19507 is going to be under 17 gallons a minute, but, you know.
And how thick is the aquifer for the Twin Mountains at that location, roughly?
To the base. I mean, you're looking at about probably around 550 to 575 to the base. You're probably looking at about 200 foot in the Twin Mountains right there.
With 200 foot of aquifer. And we're 138 feet apart, and
right.
We'll have two wells that produce under 17 gallons a minute.
Correct.
If it was granted.
Correct.
Whereas it could be 150 foot apart, and it would still be two wells.
Correct.
Producing under 17 gallons a minute.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess the question that is, what is 10 foot? Like how?
Right.
How important is that 10 feet?
It comes down to our exceptions.
Right.
That's yeah. Once you. And if you do something, what's rewarded is repeated.
There you go. And that's why I'm here. That's why I brought it to you guys, because, I get every argument and every conversation being made. Just my concern is, as Shannon likes to give me a hard time about, I like to be consistent. If I do this once, I have to do it every time. And I'd much rather like let you guys discuss it. And if you're going to do it, put special reasons on why you did it.
Mr. Weeks?
Yes, sir.
Is there, obviously we can't see what the ground looks like. Is there a way to remove just one tree to push this thing back 11 feet?
I'm sitting here looking at the map, but I can't see outside. I'll try to do what I can to accommodate you. Maybe we can work together and get this thing figured out and get her done.
Doug?
Yeah.
If you could push it the 11 foot back, would
absolutely be fine. If you make you guys feel comfortable, like I said, even as it's submitted right now, it's within my authority to approve this well under our rules. It's before you because of the fact that it's now closer to a registered well than what would be allowed if it was a new well. Because if it was a new well, it would require notice and hearing. And I would have a strong recommendation of no, right? But it is a replacement well, so there's a little bit different rules. If you want, I'm happy to send staff back out there and see if we can find a little bit better place. My concern, he said, with the septic being on the west side of the house, if you start pushing it back closer right there, you might be less than 50 foot to the septic, right? So that starts to create a problem too, right? Because you got to be at a minimum 50 foot from the septic system. And if it's on the side of the house where I can look at this, I'm guessing if it's on the west side of the house, it's probably right over here. So you got to be mindful of that.
Do we assume that north is to the top?
Correct, it is. Yes. Yes, sir.
What about all the area that looks like just west of the driveway?
Right here?
No, oh. In the back, on the south side, southwest quadrant, shall we say.
It's the weight of the rig.
Okay. Well, I know, but there's got to be.
I think that's where the laterals might be.
So, Doug, just
that rig's going to destroy that driveway. Right. Yeah.
What's the distance of the proposed well site from the front property line? Is that 50?
Oh, it's too close. It's less than 50.
Sorry, the proposed well site's less than 50 feet to the
correct. Right.
Is that not an exception we'd have?
There is no exception for replacement wells.
But if it was a new well, it would be.
Right. If it's a new well, it would be.
It'd be double exception.
But typically.
Would that not still have to meet TDLR requirements?
TDLR allows you, and Jason can speak to this, allows it to be within 5 feet if it's pressure cemented.
Yeah.
Well, but district rules trump that. In this case, again, if this was a new well, this would probably be a hard no, right?
Well, I guess what I'm asking is TDLR may allow pressure cement within 5 feet.
Right.
But does TDLR allow a well, whether it's a redrill or an initial well, within 50 feet?
Yes. Yeah. Any well can be encroached upon a property line based on TDLR rules up to 5 feet.
No. I'm saying if they're not pressure cemented.
If they're not pressure cemented, yeah. No. It's got to be 50 feet or more.
Okay. If it's pressure cemented, can it also be closer to a leach field?
50 is the minimum for a leach field.
Pressure cemented?
Right.
Okay.
It's going to be a twin well anyways. You could mud up and steer it.
Yeah, they would have to. At this location, they're going to have to.
Well, what I'm saying is you could steer it.
Right.
Oh, past the 10 foot.
Right. Yeah.
So I don't know if that's a bad precedent or not, but I mean, it's like if you had to.
No, I know.
If you had the steering.
I understand.
If you had the log, the deviation log.
Right.
You could prove that the well is more than 11 feet.
Right. No. We typically don't get into that because it gets, hard to prove, but you could.
Is the current plan to pressure cement this well because of its proximity to the front?
Yeah, they would have to.
Just for my future thought process, if what Chair proposed, if we log the well, then we could prove exactly what we can't.
We don't have a deviation log.
Okay.
Do we know who the driller on the application is?
Who's the driller? Is this Irwin? Yeah.
Do you know if they're going to attempt on air again, or are they going to drill on mud?
I would think mud, but I don't know. I cannot make an assumption of what they're going
to
do.
Lido River, we had to set surface.
They used mud the first time.
Okay.
Did they use mud the last time they attempted?
That's what you said.
Well, you said the first. Which from?
Yeah, like
replacement.
The first the well that failed when they were drilling it, they used mud, Mr. Meek?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Thank you.
I would lean towards an option of allowing staff to see if there's something that could be drilled without an exception. And if not, bring it back to the board.
Okay.
Second option would be we can, if the mood of the board was to allow the exception only if another location on site couldn't be found,
right,
at the discretion of the general manager.
And part of that, you could reduce the flow rate. You can limit it to like 10 gallons a minute or 8 gallons a minute, some lower volume.
Which reduces the cone of depression.
Right.
Is there any chance there's access? We don't see the map. Doesn't show what's south of here.
It's more houses. Yeah.
What are the track sizes in that neighborhood?
That's an old 1 acre lot subdivision. Ooh. Yep, that's why if you see some of the wells on there, the original wells, and even the original well for this were closer than 50 feet, they were all drilled before the district was around.
Well, at 11 feet, I mean, if you just trim the trees, it nearly looks like you could get there.
Yeah.
Unless it's too close to the septic.
Right, that would be my concern, is him saying the septic's on the side of the house, which means the septic tank's probably over there, and then the laterals are probably back in the back.
Yes, sir, they are.
Yeah, you'd want to make sure it would have to stay. That would be my only concern, is pushing it back, getting it too close to the septic.
Trace,
you want to make a motion?
Well, I just want to put out that I could see three different motions. One, deny it. Two, approve it. Or three, approve it with the general manager's, give the general manager authority to approve it once staff has worked through. There's no other location on site that would work.
With the flexibility to restrict flow,
yep,
to not impact the well across the street. That would meet our intent, would it not?
Would meet the intent, correct.
Okay.
I'd like to see us send somebody back out there and update the board and let us make a decision at that point.
Okay.
I'd make a motion we table this exception until the next board meeting.
Okay.
I've got a motion to table.
Second? Yes.
When including that table's instructions for staff to go back out, get on site, answer some of these questions we've got for variables, and bring it back to the board and let us make that decision instead of throwing it on your back again.
Got it.
Can we do that before the next meeting?
Hear all that?
Yeah.
Can we do that before the next meeting?
Yes.
We'll have it all done by next week.
Okay.
One thing to bear in mind, gentlemen, is if they are able to find something 150 feet away, encroach.
He can go ahead and do it.
He can do it, and we'll get a report.
Yeah, so in other words, tabled and tabled unless we can find something that's
If he can move it to that 11 feet, let him have it and be done.
Okay. Got it. I got it.
That work for everybody? Either it gets meets our current rule, meets our intent, or it comes back to us.
Correct.
Yep. You vote? You understand that, Mr. Weeks?
Gentlemen, I'm catching parts of it, but unfortunately, I don't have a full understanding of what you said. I think I do, but
well, I think what we're discussing is we're going to send staff out, work with you, see if we can find a location on your property where a well can be drilled without damaging property or infringing on our rules. If not, this will come back next month and we will discuss this matter further.
That sounds fair enough.
And from talking to the general manager, it sounds like he's going to try to get this resolved in the next week and a day.
Perfect. If you call me, I'll meet you here. My office is in Fort Worth.
He'll try.
I'll meet you here, and we'll see if we can put her to bed.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr.
Weeks. And Mr. Weeks, just so you know, if y'all can find something working with staff, it won't have to come back to us.
Great.
They'll be able to approve it right then.
Right.
That's great, gentlemen. Right. I appreciate you.
Thank you.
Thank you,
sir.
I'm going to vote on the table.
I have motion and second the table. All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Item 6B, well ID 22887, submitted by Top Notch Net Leveling and Construction in Wise County. Doug?
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you, Mr. Weeks.
All right, this one's, well, it's something. I'm just going to get to here and I'll talk to you. So you guys familiar with Satellite City?
Familiar with the name.
All right, so Justin, Satellite City, I saw Jason shaking his head, so... Satellite City is a development in Wise County. It was platted in the 1970s. It was platted with the intent of a public water supply and public wastewater going in. There's actually on the plat, there's, you can see the location of the wastewater treatment plant. However, the development fell apart. And about 10 years ago, a realtor from Denton County bought up a bunch of lots and started selling them off. And they started putting... These are quarter-acre lots. They started trying to put wells and septics on quarter-acre lots. At the time when it first started happening, I met with a Wise County judge and a couple of commissioners, and they said, hey, look, this was platted a long time ago. There's obviously no public water out there. There's obviously no sewer out there. But because it was platted so long ago, they're like, our hands are tied. We've got to approve septics. And they're like, my hand's tied. We got to approve wells. But we had a discussion with that realtor at the time, and we said, everything is going to have to meet all of our spacing requirements. Property line, well to well. So that realtor started putting lots together so that everything was at least a half acre, right? 250, 300 wells later, you've got these little lots that are still out there, third of an acre, quarter acre. And we've been getting these applications in, and we've been putting those right in the middle of the lots, right? And the folks are dealing with it and just meet 50 foot off property lines, 150 foot off other wells. We actually made somebody drill a deep well because there wasn't a place to be 150 foot from another well. So they had to drill a deep well to be vertically offset. So that being said, I get a call from a septic installer this spring asking about a lot out there. Said, hey, we're going to have trouble meeting spacing. I was like, a Satellite City is going to have to meet spacing. He reached out via email, and I've put all my emails here. He says, this is Satellite City. The only way is to protrude into the cul-de-sac. There's no other wells in the adjoining properties. I asked if the home's already there. Said, no, it's just a site plan. They do already own the land. Figuring how to fit a house, well, septic. The well and septic's going to be the issue. I said, if they change the location of the house and allow the well to meet spacing, would you have enough room for the spray field? I said, look like that. Chris Estes, who's a developer in the area, familiar with our rules. Looks like he had bought it a while back and asked if he was familiar with our requirements before the purchase. Didn't hear anything from a while back, and then he just emailed me, what do we need to do to move forward? So I responded, District Rule 4.6B allows for the general manager to approve an exception to a 2-acre minimum tract size requirement. In the instances the lot was platted prior to 2009 and has no access to water from a public water supply or retail public utility. However, Rule 4.6C says, ... must nonetheless comply with minimum well spacing requirements of Rule 4.3, which are over here, if a location exists on the property where the well can be drilled in compliance with such requirements. Didn't hear anything from them, hear anything back from them for a while. We receive an application. The application was approved. Here's the lot. The application was approved. Meets 50 feet to all spacing requirement, meets 50 feet to all property lines, 150 feet to all well. And so the well was approved right there. The driller went and drilled the well. Thought I had it on here, but I don't. The owner then told the driller to plug the well, submit a new application, or submit a replacement well application. So they've since submitted a replacement well application to put the well in a place that's less than 50 feet to the property line. And I know it's only 43 feet. However, we have not approved, to my knowledge, anything out there that does not meet our spacing requirements.
Why is the first one plugged?
Yeah. It's not plugged. It's sitting there.
Why is it proposed to be plugged?
Because they don't want it in the middle of the lot. They said it, they can't make it work. Even though I told them before they ever submitted the first application.
They can't make it work because they don't have they can't put their house there.
I think they're saying they're running out of room for the septic spray field.
But we don't know that's what they're saying.
That's what they're saying.
What's the delta? What's the difference in between the two locations?
10, 15 feet. Yeah, Kyle can measure. It's not much. Again, the fact of the matter is it goes back to, you know,
this is a subdivision. We'd open a Pandora's box real
quick. Right. I mean, you're talking a well and a septic every half acre on a couple hundred acres. It's the place is going to be a problem in the future, right? I mean, it just is.
How many lots are left?
It's getting close to built out, but there's still some. There's all these little bit, and this is why it's so important, because we have all these little lots out there that are left, right? And if we approve this, the next thing you know, because this is like 0.4 acres. Next thing you know, we're going to have somebody come in with a 0.25 acre, and it's just and I don't know how they're going to make that work, but they'll try.
Why are the lot lines not lining up with the streets?
Because it was platted in the 1970s, and for about 30 years, Justin, there were people that had maybe owned a quarter acre, and they had fenced off 10 acres.
Okay.
And there were goat trails out there. Their streets were never built.
Is this red line that it's showing, is that not that?
The red line is not accurate.
The red line is accurate.
The appraisal district data. We have to go out there for every single one of these applications because it's shifted. And these points right here are taken with very highly accurate devices at pins, property pins.
Have you granted a variance for any other lot in this division?
My knowledge, we have not. We have held everybody. As a matter of fact, one even came to the board, and the board denied it. That was a replacement well also. From the existing well that they're trying to place.
And how deep are the wells in that neighborhood, 260, 300?
Yep. They're in the twos. I don't think anything out there is three. Maybe two. There's a few of their threes, but 260, 300.
But this really isn't a replacement well. It's a convenience well.
Right. No, we approved it. The well driller went out there and drilled it in the correct location. And then I guess there's lack of communication between the driller and the owner. Owner went out there and saw it and was like, that won't work. I want it over here. So.
Do we have a report from the well driller on approximate capacity that they're getting out of that well?
Talking about 7.
That's I don't know what it says, but it's a 10-ish gallon a minute well. I don't know if they've submitted the state well report yet or not, but again, they just estimate that. It's
make a motion that we deny the application.
I have motion to deny the application for exception.
The application as presented. It's not an exception.
Deny the application as presented. Motion by Director Berkeley. Do I hear a second? If not, I'll second it. Any further discussion?
Do we know if the...
And I'll make a point. They've got a functioning well on this site.
Yeah. Well, that was my question.
Right.
Like you said, it's a convenience change. And this is a potential headache out there with all these little lots.
Right. Like, it is a functioning well. So, right. They just drilled it.
And you said how many lots are left?
I don't know, but there's probably at least 100 lots left out there. Maybe
we're gonna have 100 problems.
50 to 100.
We would.
That's what I'm saying.
There's more problems.
Okay. It's starting to fill up.
No, I know, but I'm just saying that we do
if
this.
If we granted this change, then we would
have. And we're just going to continue to go through it with every other person out there. Correct. That's not fair to the ones that have already
gone to great lengths to make it.
Obviously. Yeah. Okay.
And so, bought multiple lots so they can do it. Or
correct.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
We have a motion to second to deny the application as presented.
I'll second it.
It's already been seconded. Oh, sorry. Montague County ganged up. We flipped the cone to see who was making their motion. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Item 7, management report on administrative and operational issues. Doug?
I don't have much. It's been more of the same. I mean, our last meeting seemed like yesterday. It was only a 3-week break between the meetings, so it was quick. I said staff's busy. Blaine left. I told you all that last time. Interns doing great job. They were out digging a hole with Jacob yesterday. At least Brandon and Clay were. Had an interesting story in Granbury. You called. The guy thought Aqua had a leak. Swore they had a test. I mean, Jacob felt very comfortable that it was just coming off that limestone shelf, and it's natural. But we're going to go back when it's dry. He told him to call us back in 4 weeks if it's dried out, and we'll see.
We test the water?
It had been previously tested, but they used a pool kit to test it.
Thank you.
They dug and found the pipe, and there was no... But we are going to go back out there when it dries out, see if it's still there. Nothing else really to talk about in my report.
It may take more time than just dry weather.
Yeah, no, I know.
This may be a December check.
I do not see any budget amendments, correct?
Oh, we do have a budget amendment.
We do have a budget amendment. We have one budget amendment to transfer $300 from director seminars to legislative attendance.
Yeah, I saw.
Say no on this one just to set a precedent.
You could. It was a busy legislative year.
It was a busy year, and it was actually for us, for groundwater districts, it's a productive year. And probably for water planning in the state of Texas,
it's
a productive year.
Yeah, I was down in Austin quite a bit. And with the special, I don't expect to have to go back down there, but never know.
Chair entertain a motion to approve the budget amendments as presented.
So move.
Motion for Director Nave. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Second. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. Discussion regarding the obligation reimbursement related to the tuition assistance agreement entered into between the district and Blaine Hicks, included to but not limited to waiving any of the reimbursement due to the district.
Correct. So when he's not even here, we're talking about him. So as you know, Blaine left. In 2020, you guys adopted a resolution which created our tuition assistance program, right? Blaine was the first person that we provided tuition assistance to, put him through grad school. Jay, we helped put him through grad school. He just finished last December. As part of that agreement with Blaine and with Jay, there is, let's see if I have it in here, right here, basically says we lay out if you leave less than a year, you got to pay back. After completing, you got to pay back 100%. Between 1 and 2 years, 75%. 2 and 3, 50. 3 and 4, you got to pay back 25%. Blaine's been here, was here more than 3, but not quite 4 years. So technically, we spent $20,000 on that, and he would owe us $5,000. Blaine provided a lot more than $5,000 in benefit, and his education provided a lot more benefit to the district than that. So I'm just coming to you guys and asking y'all to waive that reimbursement obligation.
What was his total tenure here with the district?
He was here 8 years.
Yeah.
I'll make the motion to waive the reimbursement.
I second.
I'll state that it's a precedent.
It is a precedent.
Yes.
But I will note that he did work here 8 years. And I speculate, and it's speculation on my part, doing this allowed us to keep him for at least 3 more years after that fact.
Right. Right.
He had a lot of employees, and anytime they go better themselves and they've done what they've done for me, I'm gonna make that.
We have how many PGs still left on staff?
4.
You know, we've got more than any other district in the state of Texas. We'll probably lose perhaps some others. The country. Gladly.
Yeah, perhaps the country.
So, I mean, it's.
And yeah, like I said, it's, I mean, his thesis alone, I mean, that information on all those springs, I mean, I don't know if y'all, for those of y'all that weren't here, I mean, his thesis was a catalog. He cataloged 50 some odd springs, tested water, you know, identified formation from which it's coming from. I mean, that alone, that data is worth more. If you were going to pay somebody to do that study, it would have cost more than 20 grand.
So, emotion is
for 20.
Yeah, I know you would. He had fun doing it too, though.
Yeah. I have motion second to waive. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Committees for the District Board of Directors. By my note.
Yeah. Technically, the only committee that we have to maintain is the finance committee. A couple years ago, y'all appointed executive committee, but it's technically it's up to the pleasure of the president to appoint committees. But I wanted talking to Tracy, we put this item on here. So.
We do have one vacancy on the executive committee.
Correct. So the executive committee.
No, John went on automatically because he's secretary.
You mean Bob? Yeah. You mean Bob?
Bob. And I'm going to throw Berkeley under the bus on the executive committee.
I thought I was on it.
No, you're chairing it. You chair the finance committee.
We can get Jason or.
Unless one of you two wants to jump in whole hog. Exactly. I wasn't going to do that to either one of you. If you want to volunteer, you can.
I'm willing to do it. That's the way I am.
You don't get a choice, Shane.
You don't get. You made the motion to elect the officers. So, other than that, we do occasionally appoint other committees. Education committee is kind of a floating one.
Yeah, kind of a special committee for that we appoint for the rainwater stuff.
Rainwater, yeah. Well monitoring as well.
Yeah, and technically,
you'll basically get drug in on well monitoring, I'm sure.
Technically, on bylaws, the bylaws state that the board president can appoint a committee, you know,
at any time, purpose.
But these two, the executive committee, for example, I mean, especially if it's nice to have that committee to bounce ideas off of, especially if we go through some rule changes upcoming. So.
When do they meet?
It's not regular. It's just whenever.
I could.
You need me to do? See, I'll think of that. Doesn't matter to me.
Well, no, he's still the finance committee.
Oh, well, I know he's a. I'm not going to get him, but.
Anything else, Tracy?
I know. It's not like. You've been around longer than I have. You've been on there to start with. We do not have we do have a legal counsel report. Do we not?
What's up? Yeah. He stated who he's going to. I got it. Let me pull Brian
report.
Yeah, give me 1 second. There's Mr. Sledge.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Hey, Sledge.
We're playing golf.
I dressed up for you today.
Are you at the golf course?
I wish I were.
Are you at the 19th hole?
I've been in a hospital and a hospice center all day. not much to report here other than we had a big legislative hearing, maybe the biggest legislative hearing on groundwater and groundwater districts I've seen in 30 years, day before yesterday, which has been sparked by a big proposed groundwater export project over in the Henderson County area, kind of between I-45 and Tyler, southeast of Dallas. We had the whole House Natural Resources Committee and a bunch of senators sitting in with it and a bunch of other non-members of the committee sitting in it during the summer. That thing went on for, God,
like
8 hours.
Like 10 and a half hours, something like that?
9 hours. Well, I went to sleep at 10 and decided I couldn't take any more. So, but the big issue is there's a strong level of support at the legislature, at least it seemed from that meeting, to change the rules of the game when it comes to big projects. Big export projects maybe are just high volume projects. I don't know, but it looks like there's a willingness. I know the House chairman's visited with the governor about adding it to the special session call, which doesn't really have any groundwater stuff on it right now. It's got the flooding stuff, but that's about it for water. But he can add that at any time. I've been talking with both House and Senate chairmen since that meeting, and they want to get together and talk about just overhauling all kinds of stuff. So anytime they talk about doing that, we worry about the statutory framework under which our entire regulatory system and our permitting system are built, and any tinkering with the fundamentals of that, and which is what they're talking about, is something that we have to bird dog pretty hard. So that's out there. If I had a crystal ball, I'd bet the governor won't add it to the special, but I'll bet we'll see a lot of interim activity on it. And, you know, it would be disastrous to have any of the things that we're relying on in the statute for our regulatory system to fundamentally change in a way that would cause us to have to change our system in a way we couldn't sell to our constituents in our four counties. So that's the biggest thing happening over here. I'm happy to answer any questions.
One of the quickest ones we've had from him.
In a minute.
Yeah, they're not in session.
They're not in session. Anything else? Any questions for Brian? If not, our next meeting is, our show is August 20th, correct?
No.
Nope.
We're going to talk about that.
Yeah. Don't double down on me like that.
I will not be here, nor will Kyle, nor will Jill, nor will Jason. August 20th is the Groundwater Summit. August 19th through the 21st is the Groundwater Summit.
So do you want to do it the 13th or the 27th?
No, it's the 14th. So it's currently the 21st, so it'd be the 14th.
14th?
Is my recommendation.
We can do that without taking action.
The 14th.
Well, we'll have to live without you, Brian.
Yep.
I'll send you somebody else.
I figured you would.
What's your wife doing?
Oh, probably.
Are you both unavailable?
No, I've just got that standing second Thursday board meeting at Barton Springs.
Okay. All right. We'll work through it.
But yeah, Shauna, I can make Shauna available.
So next meeting will be August 14th.
Here at our office. I could ask her nicely.
Doug will ask her.
I'll ask her.
If anybody has anything to add to the agenda, let Doug or I know. If not, thank you everyone for coming.
Thanks, Sledge. See you, man.
Thank y'all.
Yes, was fun, Chan.
Yes, sir.
Glad you got to see me.
Dude, couldn't even sleep last night. I was
looking forward to that. Not sure.